70 years ago, Christine Keel's mother was forced out of her Attu home and packed into the cargo hold of a coal freighter bound for Hokkaido. Keel says her mother never talked about the experience, but its shadow clouded her childhood nevertheless.
She was an anorexic because she thought if she gained any weight, she looked Japanese. So she was horribly thin. I remember holding her, and I was only 9 years old at the time of her death. So, I mean, I literally could put my arms completely around her as a 9-year-old. So I knew that something was wrong, even though she didn't verbalize it.
Keel spent this week with 30 survivors and descendants of Attu, learning about the trauma that shaped her mother's life and her own. The event was half reunion and half memorial service.
Blessed memory and blessed falling asleep. Do thou grant, O Lord, unto thy servants who perished in Japan during the Second World War as prisoners, Mavra, John, Peter...
Between speeches and prayer, the group perused historical photographs and elders helped fill in the empty branches on family trees. Of the 42 Attuans who were on the island when the Japanese invaded, only 11 made it back to the Aleutians, and only a handful of those ever set foot on Attu again. The rest died or ended up scattered across the Pacific Northwest.
To be eternal.
Rachel Mason is a cultural anthropologist and the organizer of the Attu reunion, which is part of a larger National Park Service project called Lost Villages.
An obscure corner of U.S. history is what happened to the native residents of the Aleutians during the war. There have been a few videos and books that have come out that have told that story, but what hasn't been known is that they weren't able to resettle in their villages.
Mason is trying to change that. In 2009 and 2010, she arranged for survivors and descendants of the three lost villages on Unalaska Island to visit their former homes. She tried putting together a trip out to Attu as well, but the logistics proved overwhelming. Instead, she settled on the reunion in Anchorage, hoping it would help heal some of the historical trauma.
Their past was even more broken than the other villages.
Mason says because the survivors spread out so much after the war, many descendants weren't familiar with their Attuan heritage until recently.
They'll gain something by just meeting each other, being able to share memories of their parents, of finding out that who they're related to, and feeling more connection with each other and with their past.
That's the main reason Christine Keel and her two sisters attended the reunion. They grew up in Washington State and had never visited Alaska before this week. But by the end of the reunion, the sisters had met cousins they never knew they had.
So, strange seeing our family.
I know.
We've never had that before. We've only had us.
Yeah. That's what Margaret said. I guess I was like, hey, what's up, cuz? She's like, wow, I'm still in shock. And I said, I know, me too, but I was just trying it on for size. And it felt good. I had a big grin on my face.
The reunion is over, but Christine says for her, this is just the beginning.
My desire for the culture has been set on fire, more so than it was. And I hope that my enthusiasm and desire to be part of my people and a part of the Alaskan culture, it maybe starts a little spark for somebody else that's born and raised here and isn't on fire like I am.
Keel is looking forward to sharing the stories she's learned over the last few days with her daughter back home in Washington. She wants to make sure the next generation understands the complicated family history better than she did. In Anchorage, I'm Stephanie Joyce.